I'm Prince Bhojwani, CEO of Asana Voices.
I'm Sarah Shaw, the Director of Policy and Community Engagement with Indian American Impact.
I'm Anika Sharma. I'm the founder and co-host of That They See Spark. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi there. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a special roundtable conversation about the Save Our Hearts campaign. Stay tuned. Once again, a huge thank you to everyone for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, and sharing it with your friends and family, and for following us on social media. Now, if you're enjoying these conversations, please take a moment to submit a kind rating and review wherever you might be listening or watching, as it's truly appreciated. So I bet you didn't know that Indians and South Asians make up over 60% of the world's heart disease cases and half of the world's cardiovascular deaths. That's right, half. Most, if not all of us, can share stories of how it's affected the lives of our family members and loved ones. And for those of us who are medically trained, it compels us even more to act and treat and prevent as best as we can. Now here in the US, even with the staggering fact that someone dies from a cardiovascular illness every 36 seconds, sadly, there hasn't been a wealth of funding for specific research and education and outreach for the Indian and South Asian community. This past summer, the South Asian Heart Health Awareness and Research Act was introduced in the U.S. Congress by Representatives Pramila Jaipal and Joe Wilson as a bipartisan effort to fund and place a new focus on specific research and health promotion strategies for our own Indian and South Asian communities. And with vanguard researchers like Dr. Alka Kanaya from UCSF, who's a former guest of the show, by the way, and many, many others, the benefits of this bill for everyone everywhere could be simply enormous. So the question is, how do we build more awareness, more education, and more momentum to compel lawmakers and community leaders and donors to take action? To help answer this, I was grateful to share a conversation with Prince Bhojwani, Sarah Shaw, and Anika Sharma, three of the people behind the Save Our Hearts campaign, which aims to catalyze change and drive attention toward this issue. Prince is an entrepreneur and the CEO of Asana Voices, an advocacy group for South Asians that's helping to bridge gaps at the institutional level. Sarah has helped mobilize Asian American communities at the polls and now is the Director of Policy and Community Engagement for Indian American Impact, a national organization helping to civically engage and empower South Asian and Indian Americans at all levels of government. And Anika is a writer and public speaker with deep experience in education, healthcare, and communications, and she's the co-founder of That They See Spark podcast, focusing on social justice, health, entertainment, and society issues. The three organizations have partnered on the Save Our Hearts campaign, and it was great to have a roundtable chat about building coalitions, storytelling, steering resources and policy, and helping us all find answers by asking the right questions. And so I started by asking Prince to walk me through the framework of how the campaign was jump-started.
What had jump-sparked this was, you know, there was a member of our team, the founder, co-founder, who, you know, I had tasked to look at all the various issues that South Asians are facing and pick by far the one that's the most critical and the least controversial to work on, to pretty much bet the farm on. And he kept pitching heart health, heart health, heart health. And I said, heart health is just, It doesn't seem that appealing. But then he said, no, Prince, look at the numbers and go back and talk to your family. Get them to talk about folks that have died or are hospitalized at a young age, and you're going to be blown away. And that weekend, I got home, I talked to my mom, who's in her early 50s, by the way.
Yeah.
And she had told me that when she was visiting her family in Pakistan just 2 years before, I think like pre-COVID, she said that she was sitting down in the living room and there were probably 6 to 8 other women, all her age, let's say 40s, right, at that late 40s. And half of them were talking about how they were all on blood pressure medication as if they were, you know, talking about the new chewing gum or bubble gum that had come out. And that's it. Right. They weren't batting an eye. No one was talking about how crazy of a deal it was. that half of the people there were facing this. And then, you know, I started thinking about, wow, my uncle actually had a heart attack in his early 30s.
Yeah.
And then just like any other, you know, small organization, started cold calling a bunch of folks. And literally, and I'm not exaggerating here, literally everyone that we talked to either had a story themselves where they themselves were facing a heart-related issue, or they were immediately related to someone that had a severe heart-related issue. And at that point, we knew that we needed to do something. But again, our goal, we're not the subject matter experts. It's all about bringing the subject matter experts closer to the public and private institutions that are already in place that can enact that change. And right. That's essentially what laid to the groundwork for Save Our Hearts.
You know, with that then, you know, and we're going to get to this a little bit later, but that sort of building coalition piece certainly matters, and especially getting the right people in the room. Sarah, you've had some deep experience in mobilizing, you know, particularly with communities of color, but now sort of like hitting home with our own community, the general Indian American and South Asian American community, with the introduction of the South Asian Heart Health Awareness and Research Act, and all the work that Dr. Kanaya was doing, and of course, the terrific efforts of Pramila Jaipal and Joe Wilson. What's the approach from a policy perspective that you envisioned when you first heard about this, when this was kind of hitting you with some of these staggering numbers, and what kind of perhaps civic engagement have you imagined, or for that matter, is really critical and vital to help take this forward?
It's a great question. I mean, I'll echo Prince, right? Like the sadness of it all is it is, yes, there are stats, which we should talk about, but it is so personal to anyone that is Indian American, South Asian American, right? And so my story here, you know, and impacts is, so I started working at Indian American Impact March 2021. It was a week after a funeral where my uncle Young had died of a surprise massive heart attack, what we think. And, you know, my dad, when I was like, he was only a few years older than I was when he had a triple bypass, right? Like this was, and I will be honest, I didn't know until I started working at Impact that this was a uniquely South Asian phenomenon, right? Or that if I did know that, it was, it's just diet and exercise and, you know, people not taking care of themselves. And it's so much more complicated than that. And then March 2021, one of my first meetings, our executive director invited me to join with, was a call with Representative Pramila Jaipal, who started talking about this bill and this that you mentioned. And, you know, I was 1 week off of a funeral. And I was like, oh my gosh, this, yes, absolutely. We as an organization are going to get around this. How can you not, right? Yeah. When our community, we make up like half of the heart case diseases, and on average, we're like dying 10 years younger from it. So basically the bill, Representative Jaipal has introduced it now three times. It's passed the House with bipartisan support successfully twice. And, you know, it's hasn't made it through the Senate. So it's in the House again. Senator Booker is going to be the champion on the Senate side. And we're really trying to mobilize with all of the fantastic colleagues on this call and community partners outside of this so that, you know, we can raise awareness and give more funding to investigate what's really going on here.
Annika, hearing all this and particularly thinking about all of the intersections that you live in, you're a parent, you're a podcaster, you know, in thinking about where all of these stories cross now, you have a healthcare background, someone with expertise in so many of these intersections and hearing the stories, right? I mean, of how this affects all of us. I'm curious, what's the culturally compelling piece here? It does affect all of us. It is something that is resonating with virtually every South Asian family. How and why should this matter? I mean, now, right? This is not a new thing. We hear numbers like this, they're staggering. And yet, you know, every one of us can relate to this in a way. Not just how it matters, perhaps, but how does it gain traction, particularly with, you know, given your vantage point?
I think that the storytelling part was interesting because as we spoke to Prince, especially at the beginning, I was on the same page as he was. Cardiac health, okay, great. You know, we always talk about this. There's a million and one issues that we could all talk about with our population. And I also thought, right, along the same lines of okay, well, it is probably diet and exercise, and we eat too many carbs, and we take naps, and we take very, very slow walks with the uncles in our community after we eat. So that's not doing anything for us either. And so I kept thinking, okay, these are the same things I've heard, until, like Sarah, when Dr. Caneo was talking about her research, I just stopped. And every single person we know knows someone who died too young. And immediately when Prince was saying, okay, yeah, these are the stats for people who are under the age of 40 who have suffered from a cardiac issue or from a heart attack, immediately I had an uncle who had passed away in our community at a really young age, leaving behind two children. And so we can immediately kind of resonate with all of these messages. And I don't think any of us have thought critically beyond the point of everything that we've been regurgitating and hearing on the news, which is carbs and naps and, you know, a generally inactive lifestyle. And so hearing these stats saying, you know, every single demographic is going down in terms of terrible outcomes across all these different races and ethnicities, except for mostly Indians who are still increasing in terms of young deaths, that was really, really, not to use a pun, but it was heartbreaking, right? So when you hear that, I think that from a storytelling angle, that was right there the most compelling thing. And we knew that in terms of gaining traction, if all of us had such a visceral reaction to hearing those kinds of numbers, other people would too. And so by mobilizing people with large audiences, or anyone that wanted to be involved, particularly healthcare experts or people with large platforms in the influencing space, or whether they were content creators or whether they were musicians, everyone knew someone. And that was exactly where the story had so much power, and we had to bring it together.
And by the way, is that the coalition, particularly from the storytelling standpoint, that, like, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you do, but there's a story in there someplace. And so we need to, in some ways, bring that story out and find out what it is, and make sure that, you know, could resonate with somebody, and, you know, include as many people as possible in the tent.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is, we have this perspective that we all grew up perhaps in the West, and so we have better access to better healthcare, and therefore we're going to catch all of this early. But if that's not true, then where is the gap, and how on earth do we fill this to make sure that this isn't going to be a problem that we're all facing still, and that these next three generations of people are still saying, well, my parents died too young, or my grandparents died too young, and we still don't know. And so I think that was also sort of the common narrative, was that we were in the West and we had all these assumptions about the kinds of privileges we perhaps had, and that 1,000 years of history from the motherland is also feeding into this, but so is a million other factors that we need to kind of consider. And that if everyone knows someone, that is our underlying thread. It means that the people we've lost can still be recognized if we band together to make a change for the future, and we can do this in sort of their spirit, right?
Sarah, when you think about banding together and all the mobilizing that has to happen from a storytelling standpoint, how does that translate to coalition building now? I mean, as you mentioned, this thing, you know, has passed the House a few times, and Senator Booker's about to bring this forward in the Senate. Are coalitions with other communities important here? Is it important both from building more political community, but then also in the donor community? How do you start particularly making sure that you avoid the mistakes or the roadblocks of the past, and that we're aware in this coalition building of the blind spots that might be out there, particularly in making sure that this is hopefully a political win in the future?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. So I think on the one hand, it's easy to be discouraged, right? In that we've come so close, the bill's passed the House twice and we haven't gotten it through the Senate for various reasons. And it's like, ugh. Are we going to get it through this time, right? I think that what we have learned and what gives me hope, one is a few things, right? Because it touches everyone in our community, right? What we have found at Impact, at least, is, you know, which is mostly a political organization. We foster civic engagement, right? But when we talk about heart health, right, that's how we're bringing new people into the fold, right? That is how people are seeing why representation and leadership matters, right? Like, this is a bill that is only exists because there is an Indian American woman in Congress, right, that is here to champion it. And so part of it is, this is an issue that is allowing us also to show, like, how important representation is, and how, like, the decisions the federal government makes can affect all of us, right? And how, can you imagine what we would do, like Annika said, if we had more funding, like how many lives we would save in the future? So one is like galvanizing our own community, and that includes people who might not have been historically, you know, politically engaged. Because honestly, to get it through the Senate, it's going to take a Republican sponsor, and we need 60 votes unless it's packaged into a larger bill. And so to get that Republican sponsor, right, is going to require all of us in states across the country. And in fact, the states that aren't traditionally blue with large South Asian populations, but right, it's going to take all of our communities in Texas and North Carolina and beyond to just get one senator to champion it, and that can mobilize the rush, right? So part of it's got, you know, galvanizing our own community. I think the other is also thinking about, like you said, how do we do this with other affected communities? And so the way that we have pitched this bill is, yes, it is a South Asian bill, but that because our community is disproportionately impacted. But if passed, like, this is going to broadly benefit the American public, right? Like, the lessons learned aren't just going to be, oh, this helps the South Asians. Like, this, what we learn through research, what we learn through raising awareness and community grants, like, that's going to help everybody affected by heart disease. So that's, you know, the angle we're also trying to go as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, no community is spared from this, and definitely making sure that everyone's aware that all the research, all the policy, all the education, all the awareness is going to benefit just about every American. And for that matter, all of their relatives who are here as well. So it's not something that's just purely focused on one community. You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation about the Save Our Hearts campaign. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
Hi, guys. I'm Ananya Pandey.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hi there. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Prince Bojwani, Sarah Shah, and Anika Sharma about the Save Our Hearts campaign.
You mentioned building coalitions in blue states and red states, and that involves capital. So Prince, when we think about sort of the communities of capital that are out there and all the other sort of investors and stakeholders and business leaders who are out there, why should this matter to them? I mean, we have South Asians who are absolute titans in industry and, you know, folks who are really, you know, making great, great strides and impact everywhere. How do we get those coalitions involved, whether they're business leaders or, again, community leaders who are out there who, for that matter, you know, may not have actually participated in the past, but now you get a compelling story like heart health. How do we actually link those folks in now too?
You're right. There's quite a bit of inertia in the community when it comes to this. I think the context for folks to know before going into that is just recently the Indian population in the U.S. I mean, increased over 50% over the census period, right? And that makes then the largest, the most populous Asian group in the U.S. But then outside of Indians and the rest of South Asians, you're seeing Pakistan with 70% growth, Bangladesh with almost 100% growth, Sri Lankans with 80%, Nepali with almost 300%. There's a tremendous amount of growth year over year, over a decade of folks coming into the country. And these are folks overall, not at an individual level, but a macro level, that are very affluent or becoming affluent because of all the various fields and professions that they're taking up here. Again, this is a very big generalization to be making. It's not everyone's story.
Sure.
So that on its own, is something that people need to remember, because at the end of the day, you can vote with your voice, but you can also really, and this is really funny to say it this way, but you can really vote with your dollar. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not just talking about donating to certain campaigns, but I'm talking about when you're working for a company like a Nike, like a Gap, like a Peloton, like a Salesforce, who actually have, who employ a lot of South Asian employees and also market their products and services to South Asians, they have a vested interest in your well-being and your community's well-being. And it's your job to remind them that they have to do that. And so a lot of what we've been doing is, you know, reminding these folks who work at big companies, who have these employee resource groups, well, hey, you know, you should do X, Y, and Z. You know, you should get your company to, you know, match donations to these sorts of people, or so on and so forth. The next part was the investment group. So what's really funny is South Asians, as they've come here, and Sarah can probably talk to this a bit more, I think when they hit a certain socioeconomic ladder or part of the ladder, you just start seeing a lot of folks start voting at a different part in the spectrum. And so they actually do have the financial capital and the political capital to open doors, to open channels to groups like us, to talk to folks in the Senate or members of the Congress overall. And it's very important for people to remember that.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of in that way, right? As there's economic mobility, as there's mobility in our community, new members entering the, you know, South Asian American space, and those who are actually, again, mobilizing upward in the ladder, making sure that their votes and their voices and their dollars are being felt everywhere. I think that's a big deal. At the end of the day, I mean, all of this is about action, right? It's all about action and execution. So when action and execution are involved now, not just to get this bill passed through, but really for activating, right? So we activate awareness, we affect change. I'm curious for each of you now, and we'll start with Prince, but I'm wondering now for each of you, reflecting on your stakeholders and the people you represent, or even the people who, you know, may resonate with the stories that you all just mentioned, I'm curious for each of you to reflect on one or two high priority action items. Like what are the one to two things that you feel are critical next steps here for the Save Our Hearts campaign? And for that matter, to really sort of activate this, to make the awareness and the actions very palpable, especially in the next several months.
Sure. So, you know, we've got an entire roadmap for Save Our Hearts. And one of the last things, which is what we're kind of the phase that we're entering now, is allocate resources to all the experts in the space. We've already networked with all of them. We've already brought them into the fold. Now it's go out to all these employers who understand, you know, we've made enough noise over the past couple of months, and specifically weeks, because of this campaign, that there are a lot of eyes on this now. And now it's start siphoning dollars that would have gone elsewhere towards the research that's being done in the space, or the culturally aware prevention programs that are nonprofit, that are already established, such as the South Asian Heart Center based out of Northern California. Start elevating those, right? Start elevating programs like the Masala Study, their work, South Asian Heart Center, our health study, et cetera. And then the other one, I would say, you know, at a micro level, would be if you're at the age of 30, I just turned 31 not too long ago, you need to manage your stress better. Because I think, you know, I've seen my peers. And number two, advocate for yourself when you're talking to your physician. Because there's a high gap between what physicians are going to be asking you because of your age and what you should be advocating for because of the cultural context. And I think the closer you can bridge that gap, the better you're going to serve yourself and probably others around you.
Yeah, that's great. All great reminders. Sarah, how about you? One or two high priority action items?
Yeah. So I think, right, and this is like what's beautiful about the power of this collective coalition on the call, but also other organizations, right, is there's so, like, everyone can play a part in this. So like Prince said, yes, directing dollars is critically important, right? I think like the amazing work that They See Spark does in raising awareness and elevating stories, right? Like that is so important. I think for impact, right? Like obviously our marching orders are to go and help get this bill passed so that we can direct funding to agencies. And I will also say, right, like, yes, we are talking about heart health now and how that is a uniquely South Asian American phenomenon. But once this would be the first bill when passed that targets our community specifically. And the way that we're all thinking about it is a stepping stone, right? So now once this is passed, maybe in a few years, we're also talking about a South Asian diabetes bill or, you know, fill in the blank with another issue. And so our charge is to help work with partners and individuals that can help us, you know, create a strategy to get it through the Senate. It'll also be more tough now to get it through the House, given the change in leadership, but we're more confident there, given that it's passed twice with bipartisan support. So yeah, there are, you know, if you go to our website, iimpact.org/heart, there are call scripts to call your senators. There are email scripts. You know, we're happy to, this is going to take all of us to get it through. But I would say for impact, that's our top priority.
You know, I think it's a great reminder that each and every one of us has some power, right? Whether that's with a phone call, whether it's with our dollars, at the micro and the macro level, we have local elected leaders that we need to talk to about this, and making sure that that voice is heard is great. Annika, for you, and thinking about not just personally, of course, but also as a storyteller, as someone at all those intersections I mentioned, and through that They See Spark now, what are some marching orders for you? What are some of the high action and priority items that you'd like to see sort of carried forward?
Well, one of the main missions of our podcast generally has always been to spark the conversation. So that is one of those things, yeah, is to not only sit here and think, okay, heart health's important, because I think everybody knows that, but it's just going back to what Prince and I were saying, if you don't know about these really important statistics, it's important to begin talking about it. So that was where we really wanted to start. And that's why we got pulled in on this in the first place, where the attraction was, because if we didn't know, then we knew that other people certainly didn't, because we're pretty tapped in. And then on top of that, I think the second priority is actually, along with what Prince said, not only advocating for ourselves, but having our family members advocate for themselves, because a lot of our audience, yeah, in particular are within the ages of 25 and 45. So we have to advocate for ourselves and our health, but we're also getting to the point where our parents are now reaching those ages where we, or family members are just reaching those ages where heart health is becoming a higher and higher priority to pay attention to. And whether it's preventatively or whether it's coming in as a treatment option, these are things that they need to be thinking about. And there are tests out there that they can advocate for themselves. I know that when Dr. Ganaya was talking, she was talking about getting a calcium scan for people who are older. And I immediately thought, oh my gosh, my dad got one of these. And it put our minds at so much ease to know that we had that single data point, in addition to a number of other tests that he's gotten over the years, knowing he's at risk for heart disease just from family risk. So other parents, other people who know that these treatment options or these preventative options are coming, we should be talking about that, and we should have them advocate for it so that, like Prince said, you know, the physicians also know that these are coming. They contribute to more research. As there's a wave of brown people going to their physicians asking for these tests, hopefully that can create some noise as well, and then yeah, make people pay attention a little bit more. So a lot of it was within the storytelling, but also to actually, you know, get these steps moving forward for our community as well.
What I loved about what you mentioned, and I think all three of you mentioned, is how many tentacles this has in different corners, different generations, the questions we're asking, all the things that we're hopefully self-aware of. I'm 52. Boy, this sparked a lot of questions for myself. And, you know, this was a good jumpstart for that. And certainly for those of us in the medical community, there's lots and lots of questions being asked. But I'm fascinated by that last piece here, which is the questions that it raises. And I'm always really thinking about not just the inspiring work that is activating and creating action and hopefully, you know, something that we can execute on with on the civic level and in the, you know, sort of policy level in Congress. But with all this inspiring work that, you know, comes from the data and the storytelling, and it identifies the gap that exists now, I'm curious for all of you, what are the next questions that arise from this work? Imagine that there's someone just like all of us hearing this data and learning about Save Our Hearts for the very first time and learning about this campaign. What questions do you hope are being asked by some of the stakeholders again that you represent? And what questions do you hope are going to resonate very powerfully for them? And Prince, I'll start with you.
That's a really good question. And I think at a micro level, because I think so many of these conversations start at that micro level, would be, am I at risk? Because the second you ask that, you start thinking about so many other things, right? If I'm at risk, are my kids at risk? Are my parents at risk? Are my peers, et cetera? And you can start those conversations that have a pretty high engagement rate. You don't have to go out and start a campaign like Save Our Hearts. What's been beautiful about Save Our Hearts is we've kind of democratized that conversation and we've had so many people come to us. A lot of those partners that you saw share those graphics actually came to us after we'd started, you know, sharing that. And the voice notes and the texts and the emails that I'm pretty sure we'd all gotten at that point were so moving, you know, whether it was about them personally or their husband who'd passed away at the age of 39 or their parents who literally passed away the week before, et cetera. But all of that, you know, if Save Our Hearts didn't exist, it could have been replaced by a series of micro discussions happening at the dinner table. Hopefully not a dinner table, maybe at, you know, treadmills or a jog or something.
The faster uncle jog, which I'd like to initiate.
The faster uncle jog, you know, but I think those small discussions really, really matter. Yeah, I think that's it.
Annika, how about you? What's a question you hope people are asking when they're, you know, beyond the am I at risk now? Are there other questions that you hope are that people are asking when they first kind of discover the Save Our Hearts campaign?
Outside of the campaign itself, I think that my first question is, what else don't we know? Because there was so much knowledge that we didn't know. And then also on top of that, a lot of that was tied to the fact that South Asians in particular are not represented in research at the equal proportions that were in the population, which means that there's a vast gap in knowledge about what our community responds to, what our lifestyles look like, how they're impacting us, what are our health outcomes? And at the end of the day, how long are we going to live if we don't know anything about that? So I think that on something so critical like cardiac health, if we have this massive gap, where else can we start making a change? And so I think both of those questions kind of go hand in hand. What else don't we know? Where else can we make a change?
Sarah, what questions are high on the list for people just getting introduced to this, but particularly, of course, from Indian American Impact's work?
I think, so it's interesting. I'm trying to think of how to frame it as a question, but I would say both to Annika and Prince, right? Prince's point about, am I at risk? And Annika saying, what don't we know? I think that's so spot on. And I would say, like, when you see these stats, as staggering as they are, right? One, we have to assume we don't know a lot about why. Like, that is why the stats are the way they are. And two, what, you know, am I at risk? I mean, I personally, after the past couple of years of being involved in this, I'm like, I'm just going to make the assumption I am, right? Like, I know that based on family, based on culture, based on, right, being South Asian. And so then when you adopt that, it's like, well, what changes now? What questions do I have, assuming I am at risk? Like, what can I do to, one, ensure my own longevity, that of my children, my parents, my family? And then, like, yeah, what role do I want to play in, you know, helping out my community in the future? And so, like, we've talked about this whole podcast, you know, that could be, I'm going to help champion this bill. That could be, you know, I am in med school. I should learn more about this because it's not being talked about in my classes. That could be, you know, I work for a federal agency and data disaggregation is a major problem preventing us from learning about a lot of topics. I need to be a better advocate for that, right? Or this could be, I'm going to raise awareness online, right? Like, I'm going to do, right? There are lots of ways to get involved. So I think the question to ask is really, what role do you want to play?
Yeah. Well, what can I do? What role shall I play? How am I at risk? And what don't I know? I love all these questions. More importantly, I love and really admire the work that all three of you are doing and continue to do hopefully not only is it inspiring lots of others, but I hope it's really galvanizing so much of our community, and for that matter, all Americans, to really get behind something like this. I really want to thank all three of you for joining. Prince Bhojwani, Anika Sharma, and Sarah Shah, what a treat this was, and congratulations on the work. And boy, there's so much work ahead. I hope we can all get behind it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much to everyone. Take a look at the show notes for extra resources, and please contact your Congress members to take action. It takes very little effort to practice generosity and kindness, so hope you can practice early and often. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.